Our scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 124. I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles, and the passage is also printed in your bulletin on page 9. If you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's word. And before we read, I would like to remind you that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. This is the word of God for the people of God.
If God had not intervened in your lives, where would you be this morning? If the Lord had not intervened in your life, where would you be this morning? Some of you, just hearing that question, your immediate response is one of gratitude and wonder and awe. Because you know that if God had not intervened in your life through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you would not be here today. And you would be without hope. And for some of you, you may have a response, a mixture of gratitude and wonder and awe, but also perhaps anguish. Perhaps you're at a place in your life where you are waiting and longing for God to intervene in your life again. You need Him today. And for some of you, perhaps that wonder and anguish has turned to anger. You're wondering why God has not intervened as you hoped He would or when He would. And for some of you, you may wonder if there is even a God to intervene in your life. Whatever your response may be, I hope and I pray that you will hear God Himself speak words of life to you today from His Word, Psalm 124. This psalm shows us that God does indeed intervene in the lives of His people. This psalm gives great hope and encouragement to us, the people of God, today. And as we consider this psalm, once again, we are unsure of the exact historical setting that led David to write these words. It may have been in response to the way that God had delivered David and God's people from the attacks of the Philistines in 2 Samuel chapter 5. In that time, the Philistines had routed Saul and his army. They had killed King Saul. And then they had heard that David had been crowned king in Saul's place. And so they gathered together all the Philistines. All the army of the Philistines gather together to destroy Israel once and for all, to wipe them out as a nation. Those of you who are J.R.R. Tolkien fans or the Lord of the Rings fans, you might remember in the movie, Theoden, King of Rohan, asks Aragorn, "How many soldiers have come up against us?" And he says, "Tens, thousands." And then he says that this army was bred with a single purpose, to bring an end to the world of men. And that is exactly what the Philistines desire to do to the Israelites, unless God intervenes. They aim to bring an end to David and the Israelites, but God does intervene. He goes out before Israel and He strikes down the army of the Philistines. And so this psalm is an expression of gratitude, thanksgiving to God for His deliverance. This is a thanksgiving hymn for the community. It acknowledges God as their deliverer. that may have been the setting. But God's people have known many occasions on which God has been their deliverer, and on which this psalm provides just the right hymn to sing in response. It's general enough to apply to many different settings, times when God's people were under great threat, and they have been delivered, and this psalm is a song of thanks and response. So what this psalm teaches us is that we, the people of God today, can thank the Lord for His help and deliverance in the past, and we can trust the Lord for His help and deliverance today and in the days to come. We see this in three different ways through this psalm. First, we can thank and trust the Lord because the Lord is on our side. We see this in verses 1 through 5. This psalm, Psalm 124, is a song of ascents. And what that means is that this psalm was sung by the people of God as they made their way up to Jerusalem. As they made their way to Jerusalem to remember what God had done and to worship Him, they would sing this song back and forth, sort of like what we did in part in our call to worship just a few moments ago. So we had Bill say, "If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel now say." And then we, the people of God, responded by saying, "If the Lord had not been on our side." That's the picture of what is happening here. And then the next four verses describe what might have happened if it was not the Lord who was indeed on our side, on the side of God's people. When I was younger, I loved those Choose Your Own Adventure books. I don't know if any of you still read those today. But I love them because I could kind of engage in the story and have some sense of control over what was happening. So you'd come to the end of the chapter and you would get to decide what choice you would make. What would happen? So you come to the end of the chapter and it might say, "If the Lord is not on our side, turn to page 83. If the Lord is on our side, turn to page 124. So that's what we're going to do here along with the psalm. We're going to imagine what happens if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And we are given two vivid images to help us understand what would have happened. And both of these images in the first five verses emphasize the strength of the enemy and the weakness of God's people. The contrast is great. So this is Dean Pottinger and Michael Casella, our newest born sons, in a race against Usain Bolt. The weakness of God's people against the strength of the enemy. Or it's the feeble hobbits against an army of orcs and monsters. That's the picture that we're given here. So verse 3, the image is of some threat that's large enough to swallow us up alive. This is a violent enemy with such overpowering strength and size that they do not even need swords for the slaughter. Without a battle, without any effort of strength at all, they can easily devour the defenseless flock of Israel. So I don't know how we think of this today. Maybe you have a picture of being in the Amazon and some snake swallowing you alive. Or you're in the middle of the ocean and a huge whale comes and just gulps you down. This is the image that we are given. Verses 4 and 5, the images of the flood, the torrent, the raging waters. And so I don't know if you've seen any of the images from Louisiana lately, but entire neighborhoods destroyed, every home in the neighborhood, cars swept away. Or maybe you've seen from years past pictures, images of tsunamis when the earthquake hits and then you have this incredible wave, waves over 100 feet high coming and crashing into the shore with such force that people and homes and buildings are just swept away. Now, this is not a very pleasant game for us to play, is it? This imagine if the Lord had not been on our side. We made the wrong choice in the Choose Your Own Adventure book. And so we want to go back and choose again. And so we can have a better outcome. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, history would be very different for Israel. Would be very different for God's people. What would have happened? The Egyptian army would have trapped the Israelites by the Red Sea. And they would have killed
them all.
The Philistine army would have defeated David and wiped out the nation Israel. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David, would never have been born to save us, and you and I would have no hope of salvation. Your sins would not be forgiven, and you would not have the joy of knowing Jesus. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, we are doomed. But thanks be to God. The Lord is on our side. And so, instead, it is Pharaoh and his mighty army who are thrown into the sea while the Israelites walk through on dry ground. And it is David who defeats the Philistines and says in 2 Samuel 5, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood." The image is reversed. And the promised Messiah is indeed born. Jesus comes to save his people from their sins. Beloved, isn't it wonderful to have someone on your side? When you are discouraged or hurt or in trouble, to have someone come alongside you and listen and comfort you and advocate for you, to go to bat for you, in a sense, that can be so encouraging and so helpful. But the encouragement here is not only that there is someone on our side, but the encouragement is that it is the Lord himself who is the one on our side. And the point is, our need is so great, our situation is so desperate, that we cannot be delivered by anyone else in any other way. And no matter how great our need may be, how desperate our situation, our deliverance is secure. It is guaranteed because it is the Lord who is on our side. This is a psalm of thanksgiving. It is meant to lead God's people to give thanks to the Lord. But we will only ascribe glory to the Lord. We will only give him thanks when we are truly persuaded that he is indeed for us and that he is the one who defends us and keeps us safe. We will not give thanks to God if we don't believe God is for us. And so this passage confronts our unbelief. We often think that God is against us. And it's important that we are clear here, that we face reality. God is indeed against you if you have refused to repent of your sin and acknowledge him as God and submit to him as your Lord and Savior through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you have not turned to God through Christ, then God is against you. But if you have, if you have acknowledged your sin and trusted in his Son, our Savior, then God is for you. He is on your side. And yet we have a hard time believing that, don't we? That's hard for us to accept. We cannot imagine someone, especially the holy God who knows everything about us. We cannot imagine that he would truly love us and be for us and delight in us. We see our sin. We know our struggles and our weakness and our failures. And we think that we are not worthy. And we are not. Our worth is not in what we own. But God loves us anyway through his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, throughout the Psalms, as we've been studying them this summer, we have seen the name most often used for God is the name Lord, with all capital letters. And that name, Lord, when you see it in all capital letters, is referring to the name of God, Jehovah, or Yahweh. And it's emphasizing the fact that God has entered into a covenant with his people, and that he is faithful to his people and to his promise, even when we are faithless. One of the key points of Psalm 124 is that up against the sovereignty of God, we also see, on the other hand, the absolute utter poverty of Israel, her lack of sufficient military might, her inability to ward off any of her enemies, and her own complete spiritual bankruptcy. So we have to read this psalm in light of Israel's frequent backsliding, her long history of lazy and lukewarm unfaithfulness, Israel did not earn God's favor. These people did not do something that all of a sudden made God look at them and say, okay, now I am for you because of what you have done. You've been so faithful to me, I will be faithful to you. That is not what happened. Israel's salvation again and again against every conceivable foe goes against every human expectation. And so this magnifies not only the sovereignty of God, but also His grace and His goodness. Israel has not gotten what she deserved. The Lord has redeemed her. He's made her His own, not because of her size or strength or beauty, but to the praise of His own glorious grace. The Lord has intervened in her life, and He has set His favor on her of His own good will. The Lord's being on our side does not depend on our merit. Does not depend on who we are or what we do, but it depends on God's grace and favor freely given and given to us today through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also have a hard time believing God is on our side for us, that He's for us, that He's on our side, because we see our circumstances. And often our circumstances are troubling, and they are difficult, and they are painful, and they are not good. We see that. We see enemies all around us, and we think, God must be punishing me. How can He be for me? How can He be on my side? And beloved, in these times, we must learn to trust the character and the faithfulness of our God that we see on display throughout the pages of the Scriptures. The Lord is for us. Now, how do we know that is true? We can say it, but how do we know it is true? We have even more sure proof than the Israelites had. And just think about that for a moment. Our Israelite fathers had seen. Some of them had seen with their own eyes, and others had heard with their ears how God had defeated the mighty army of Pharaoh. They had witnessed that. They had heard about it. They had seen, or they had heard, God deliver His people from the Philistines and the many nations that were arrayed against them. And we have seen, we have heard of how God has defeated our greatest enemies, sin and death and the devil. How? By giving His own Son to live and die and rise again for us. And that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 8, and that's why I continue to encourage you to memorize this great chapter, or at least read it every day. Paul says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? God, the Lord, the great I Am, is on our side. He is for us. God, the Son, Jesus Christ, is our advocate. Matt Chandler is a pastor in Texas of a large church. He's well known in Christian circles. And in speaking of Jesus Christ as our advocate, he used this illustration. He had a brain tumor and was going through chemotherapy and radiation. And because of his status as pastor of this large church and being well known, people all over the world had heard about this and were praying for him. And he was getting notes from pastors and people all over the world. And he said he had in his office a framed picture of four pastors from the Sudan kneeling down on a dirt floor with their hands raised, saying they were praying for him. And he said, all of that is very encouraging and very helpful. And at the same time, he said, all of that is nothing in comparison to the fact that Jesus Christ right then is standing, sitting at the right hand of God the Father and looking down on him and saying, "That's my boy." Jesus Christ is our advocate. He is for you. He looks down on you and he says, "That one is mine." And he speaks to the Father on your behalf, on our behalf. God the Son, Jesus Christ, is for us. God the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He is the seal guaranteeing our inheritance. Do you understand what that means? It is the Holy Spirit's job to make sure that every one of God's children make it safe to their eternal home and their eternal inheritance. And do you think that the Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, will fail in his job? He will not. He will not. Every single child that is entrusted to his care, he brings safely home. He is for us. Beloved, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is united in love for you and working for your good. It is this Lord, the triune God, who is on your side. And that's why the psalmist says, Psalm 56, "This I know. This I know, that God is for me." Amen. Psalm 56, I encourage you to read the entire chapter this afternoon. It is the Lord who is on our side. Well, second, we can thank and trust the Lord because our lives are in the hands of the Lord. Verses 6 and 7. Now, instead of imagining what might have happened, we are told what did happen. The Lord rescued his people when their doom was imminent. And we're given two more images to describe the danger that God's people faced. This time, the threat is not being swallowed alive. It's a slower, a more agonizing defeat. Verse 6 uses the phrase, "pray to their teeth." So what's everyone's greatest fear during Shark Week at the beach? I'm not alone in this, am I? Somehow it just always happens you're at the beach and it's Shark Week and you're watching the shows at night, and then that's not a very good idea because the next day you go to the beach and no one wants to get in the water. And if you do, what are you afraid of? That you're going to see that fin sticking up out of the water. And then this huge great white is going to tear you to pieces. Or you're on a hike in Alaska and you're fearful of coming between a grizzly bear and her cubs. It's not a pleasant thought. But that's the image here. Being torn to pieces. And then verse 7 uses the image of a trap that's set to catch and entangle the captive, so that his own struggles to get free would only entangle him all the more. The idea here is that God's people were as good as dead. All hope was lost. There's no way out. There's no escape. And then all of a sudden, they are free. They have suddenly and surprisingly escaped from the jaws of death. And why? Because our lives are in the hands of the Lord. "Blessed be the Lord," verse 6 says, "who has not given us as prey to their teeth." So listen to this. The jaws of death, these terrifying dangers and enemies, had no power over God's people, but what was given to them from above. Do you understand that? Did you hear that? Do you see what the psalmist is saying? These enemies had no power at all, whatsoever, over God's people, except what God allowed. And what the psalm tells us is that God's people could not be a prey to their teeth unless the Lord gave them up, and therefore they were rescued because the Lord would not allow them to be destroyed. He did not give them up. And so we see that not only are our lives in the hands of the Lord, but also that it is the Lord's and the Lord's alone to give and to take away. Isn't that what Job said on the day when he lost everything? His livestock, his children, all dead in one day. And what did he say? The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. So whether the Lord gives or whether he takes away, it is the Lord's alone to do so. So later in Job chapter 12, I encourage you to read all of Job 12 this afternoon. That's two chapters so far. Psalm 56, Job 12. But later Job would say, in his hand, in the hand of the Almighty, in his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Our lives are in the hands of the Lord. And here in Psalm 124, God's people give him thanks. They bless the Lord because they know that they have had a narrow escape. And they know that the Lord alone is the author of this escape. Beloved, we rob God of his due glory if we do not return thanks to him for his help and his deliverance. But we will not give thanks to God if we think that we have delivered ourselves, or if we live with the illusion that we are in control of our lives. Verse 6 says, blessed be the Lord. David acknowledges that the Lord is the one worthy of thanks. The Lord is the one worthy of praise. You can thank and trust the Lord today because your life is in his hands. And then third, we can thank and trust the Lord because our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Verse 8. This concluding verse of the psalm drives home the main point. We can thank the Lord for his help, and we can trust the Lord to help us because our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. There is no greater help. There's no greater power. No one above him. Nothing that can stop him or hinder this help. God tells us in his word over and over again, he tells us this. And he is telling us this today, right here, right now. The Lord is the maker of heaven and earth. And we are told this here to assure us that not only do we have help in our time of need, but we have it from the greatest possible source. There's no greater help. So maybe this will help you understand it. Maybe not. But a couple weeks ago, we had our first ever VBS. And Andy was helping out with VBS in many ways. We're so thankful he was able to do that. One of the ways that he was helping out was with recreation, with the games with the kids outside. We also had a couple weeks ago the Olympic Games. And some of you had the joy of watching these incredible athletes, the speed and the strength and the endurance that just blows your mind. So I was just imagining, how could we understand the greatest help? There's no greater source, no greater help. So I just was imagining, what if Andy had a game outside for the kids that was a relay race? 4x100 meter relay. And there were only 7 kids out there to run. And just imagine if some of these kids were competitive. Like one day I saw them out there, Ben Hermanson, he's competitive. He wants to win. At least that was my observation that one day. So imagine these kids, they all want to win. There's only 7 kids, 4 on one team, 3 on another. And as Andy just says, sometimes what you do is you just say, okay, well, team of 3, maybe somebody has to run twice. But then all of a sudden, this huge figure comes up out of the woods. And it's Usain Bolt. And then Andy says, oh, no, here, you could be on this team with 3. What's that team going to think? If Ben Hermanson is on that team, what's he going to think? Aha, we won! There's no way we're losing this, right? No, there's nobody faster in the world. No greater help. It might not be the greatest comparison, but the concept, think of it. Our help is in not Usain Bolt. He is nothing compared to the power of the Almighty God. There is no greater power. Nothing above him, nothing that can stop him. And that is where our help comes from. What hope that gives us. What encouragement that gives to us. What confidence that gives us. Our help is from the Lord, the one who is for us. The one who holds us in His hands. The one who has universal and unbounded power. There is no one who can stop Him. There is nothing that He cannot do. So Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God, it is You who have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and Your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for You." And the psalmist will say over and over again, Psalm 115, "May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth." Nehemiah, "You are the Lord, You alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and You preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships You." Acts 17, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by hands, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." Our help, beloved, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. What do you need today? Where do you need help? Where do you need God to intervene in your life? You know, the greatest need that we all have, that I urge you to make sure you have taken care of today, is the need for the forgiveness of our sins and reconciliation with the God who made us. And God offers you this help today. He offers you this deliverance, this rescue. If you will only admit your need, you are guilty. Your sins have separated you from God, and you cannot atone for them by your good works. The Bible makes it clear, no one is good enough to save himself. God does not let anyone into heaven on the basis of their good works. You cannot say, "I tried my best to live a Christian life." That is not good enough. God is infinitely holy. And He demands perfection. Your only hope is in the perfect life and sacrificial death and bodily resurrection of His own Son, Jesus Christ, given for you. And if you will receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is offered in the gospel, God will be for you and you will be saved. And if you do not, God will be against you and you will perish. This is our greatest need, to be reconciled to God. And once you know that God has met that need in your life, you know that He is able to meet any and every other need in your life, no matter how great it may be, whatever it may be. And be assured, there's not a person here today who does not need help. We are all needy, and we need God's help every day. And one of the ways that God provides this help is through His people, our church family. And so we are here to bear one another's burdens, to encourage one another, to love one another. But in order to fulfill God's law of love, we must not only look to help those who are in need, but we must be willing to admit that we need help. And we must come to the place where we can trust one another and admit our need as we trust in the gospel and Jesus Christ. So where might you need help today? We are all needy. Could be in any number of ways. Maybe you or someone you know is sick and facing death, and you don't know what the outcome may be. Maybe it's conflict with a family member, a friend, a loved one. It's weighing you down. Perhaps you're being mocked for your faith, surrounded by ungodly influences at work, at school, maybe even at home, persecuted. Maybe it's your personal struggle with sin over and over and over again. You are falling and failing and you can't seem to break free. Or perhaps you're overwhelmed by new responsibilities that have been thrust upon you that you never expected. Or just the hardships of life. It seems like a wave is going to crush you. Where do you need God to intervene in your life today? Beloved, He's done it before. And He will do it again. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will not forget you. His Son, Jesus Christ, is your advocate. He sees and He knows. His Spirit has been given to seal you for your inheritance. God is for you. Your life is in His hands. Your help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so we can look to the past and we can testify the Lord has helped us. We can look to the present and we can assert the Lord is our help this very day. And we can look to the future and we can affirm the Lord will be our help forever. Beloved, where would we be if God had not intervened in our lives? Thanks be to God, He has and He will. Amen. Amen. Let us pray.